The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy New Year to you officially. Junior, 2021 is here.
Yes, Happy New Year to you as well. And congratulations to your Bills picked up the W this weekend, right?
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was at the Harwood Tavern celebrating last night, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And well, actually, it was yesterday afternoon. But
man, they look good.
Yeah.
They are looking so good.
I know. Whew. Okay, so you know what? We'll do this live on the air because maybe you know the answer. Someone texted me this morning and said, "Hey, the Bills have to go are wild playing a wild card." I'm like, "What? They won the division. Why are they having to be a wild card team?"
I didn't think they were. I didn't think that,
but they have to play the Colts for some reason.
That's not just a regular season game for them?
No. It's a wild card game, and I'm like, I still haven't had time to look into it, but it kind of made me mad as a Bills fan.
I'll have to look into that. Yeah, they had such a good season. That'd be weird. Unless they were in just a tough division, I don't know, but that'd be a really tough division with their record. I'd have to look into that.
Yeah, no, we'll look into it together. We will report back tomorrow. You see how nervous it made me? I get so upset, but oh my God, they played so well. It was just tremendous. It was tremendous. If you're a Bills fan like I have since I was a kid, you know, this has been, what, a 26-year drought, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of happy Bills fans all over the country.
Yeah, and the Cowboys fans are still in a drought, so.
I know, but you know, the Cowboys almost pulled it off at the end, and then that one player got cement hands.
Yeah, but at this point, I was just like, why get those wins those last 2 weeks? We should have just got the draft picks. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I know.
It was such a bad season. We had so many people out. We should have got the draft picks. But I'm a Bills fan for the rest of the season, though.
So. All right. What do you mean the rest of your season? How about the rest of your life, Junior?
No, just the rest of the season. I'll cheer for the Bills for you, and then it's back to the Cowboys.
And then it's back to I was a Cowboys and Bills fan for years. I was a season ticket holder, and it was very difficult when they went to the Super Bowl, you know, several times against the Cowboys. But you know, that's the thing about football that most people don't understand, and this is the thing that people don't understand about the Buffalo Bills and their fans. They are the most loyal fans out there. They are. They get tested. They've been undermined. They've been, you know, like, oh, the Buffalo Bills, because they're in a smaller market. And they're kind of always been like the underdog, but you'd never know it because their fans are so loyal.
I mean, they show up in the snowstorms. I mean, because they don't have a dome up there. And they show up, man.
And
you're
right
about that.
They show up. They do. They show up, and I show up. When I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I do it. And it's a good mentality to have, and that's what football is really all about. It's about loyalty and showing up and living your life to the fullest, which was what we do here on One Life Radio. So happy 2021, everyone out there. Let's make this a great and healthiest year that all of us have ever had. I just worked out a few minutes ago, right before I went live, and I procrastinated a little bit. You know, you're always like, oh, I can do this and I can do that, but I did. did follow through. I got on my bike and I was up out of the saddle for about 20 minutes and my body feels good. I've got a little bit of a sweat working and it just feels good. Exercise is everything. And I think that that should be really a message for the whole world in 2021 that we have to and we must get our health back. So, okay, I'm jumping off the box now. I'm off the soapbox and I'm going to introduce our first guest is Autumn Connolly. But before I do, at the half, we've got Mary Holland, you guys. She's amazing. She's a regular on the show and she serves as general counsel and vice chair of the board at Children's Health Defense. Don't miss it. Stay tuned if you're in your car or listen to the podcast after the show. But Autumn Connolly is with us here today. She's one of my dear friends and she lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her three kiddos and animal babies. She is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. And Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and a teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. How you doing today, Autumn? Happy New Year.
I'm wonderful. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, I love this topic that you've picked today for us to talk about, which is how to harness the power of eight. And so a lot of people don't know what that means, and I didn't until I bought the book by Lynn McTaggart. But we're basically talking about the principles of this. And so let's do it. What is the overall theme of the power of eight?
It's funny because this is the book that's been going around in my little social circle recently. And, you know, everybody wants to know, it seems like there's some mysticism behind this power of eight. But what it really all boils down to is the power of group manifesting, which is really not unlike what most people would relate to, you know, the power of prayer. You know, so if anyone goes to or used to go to church or anything like that, you know, when the congregation prays for somebody or prays for something or whenever there's a group of people that get together and focus their intention on one specific goal, the intention or the power, the energy, as I'd like to say, behind it is multiplied. And it's really a fascinating concept just from a scientific standpoint, but it also is something that is so traditional that it's funny that, you know, there are even books about it now.
Yeah.
Because it's been going on for ages.
Yeah, well, I believe in it and the energy, and there's so much science behind this. People don't really understand it. I think the first time I really believed it is when I read The Power of Intention by Lynn McTaggart, who actually mm-hmm. is one of the editors and founders of What Doctors Don't Tell You, which is an amazing magazine. If you've never seen it, you can subscribe to it now. It used to be in grocery stores, but it no longer is. They do incredible work and get a lot of stuff out there and really stretch your mind to think about things that maybe you've never thought about or heard about.
Exactly. Or put
right?
it in a new light.
Yes. Let's stretch yeah. our minds here. I mean, let's stretch mm-hmm. it out. Okay. So how is it different than an individual intention setting? You know how people are so, I can have anything I want if I just have the intention. You know, that's very popular right now. Not so sure that they've taken it to a level that I don't think is really at the very basis of this, because I do believe that it's real. I do.
Yeah, you know, and I would say the biggest thing that I think is the difference between having a group behind the meditation or the intention or the healing or whatever it is, whatever end goal is that it's contributing to collective consciousness. So whenever I say words like that, I a lot of times see people's eyes glaze over, you know, like it's some sort of spiritual thing. But really, you know, think about it in just simple terms like trends that we see in fashion or in colors mm-hmm. or in foods or anything like that. There is no debate that people all kind of follow these trends and these waves and different things simultaneously, that we're all connected on some level or another. So by you're able to increase the powers of these intentions or these manifestations when you have other people focusing on the same end goal with you, because then it becomes, it's turning the tide within the collective consciousness a fraction more than you would on your own.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting science. It really is. Okay. So, you know, does it have to be followed as an like the outline in the book, or how do you do it? Do you just kind of freestyle it?
Yeah. No. So I like the book because it's just like what you said about her other publications. She's expanding your mind, expanding your knowledge, and just really pointing to a system for something that we all kind of do. You know, like if a family member is sick, we all kind of rally around and everybody in the family, you know, wishes them well on their own terms. It's no different than any of that. But what she's doing is she's giving you a formula and some reasons and some examples of, you know, success stories and things like that, which makes which puts more power into it. So I don't believe that the steps in the book need to be followed explicitly. I just believe that you need that the awareness of the intention, the awareness of having other people support you in whatever it is you're wanting to manifest or change or heal or something like that is really the biggest step. So a lot of times we do think, and especially culturally right now, there's this phenomenon that you can, like you said, manifest anything that you want. Mm-hmm. And although that is a philosophy that I dive into and believe in, you know, there's a lot of dogma surrounding all these things. It is just plain unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more just about believing that, as humans, we are a social species, and that by engaging the help of trusted loved ones and, you know, setting forth a common goal, that a lot of times inexplicably it can be achieved with a lot less effort. Mm-hmm. So it's also one of the things. Go ahead. Oh, it's also one of the things, you know, that we talk about a lot in any sort of meditation practice. The easiest meditations when you start out are to do ones that are guided, somebody else giving them to you. And the reason for that is human nature. You tend to believe what other people believe ahead of yourself. Mm. So in the group, when you have a group, if you've got 10 people and you're all setting the same intention, your own power is strengthened by the belief that these other 9 people are believing it with you.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's an energy. It's totally an energy. And it does make sense. At least it does to me. But we're going to go for a quick break. More coming up, you guys, with Autumn Connolly. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I knew he must have been about 17. He was going strong, playing my favorite song. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me. Yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are continuing on with Autumn Connolly. She is an amazing woman. She lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her 3 kiddos and her animal babies, and she is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. And she's also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and a teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. And so, Autumn, in 2021, do you have any new products coming out with Anvil Traditional Healing? And let our listeners know where they can buy them. I know you can get them on Amazon. Is there any place else? Can they order them from you directly?
Yes, they can order from me directly. And then I'm also starting an Etsy store because I've got a whole... it's weird how you and I are on the same wavelength, but I do have a whole new line of skincare stuff. So priced for, priced for affordability, natural, and simple. My 3 favorite standbys.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. You know, you and I met through a demonstration they were doing at Natural Grocers. That's how we met. And I said, I want to meet the maker behind this product, which at the time was Ether Elixir, which was a kefir product. And it was amazing. Anyway, that's a long story. But from that, you've gone to Anvil Traditional Healing. Yeah. The nature of business in this country. Don't get me started, but
I know, you know, just as well.
Yeah, we can't go there. But anyway, but I love that. I love that you're starting something fresh and new in skincare in 2021. I can't wait to try your products and hear about it. But, you know, today we're talking about the power of eight. And so, you know, for people that maybe are just now joining us, that just jumped into their cars, can you give a brief example of the power of eight or an understanding of it quickly, Autumn?
Yeah, so a brief example, I mean, not necessarily anything directly from the book, but just the general concept is that when you have a specific intention, you know, be it healing yourself, healing a loved one, or maybe manifesting something. I know a lot of people are financially under hardship with everything that's gone on in the last year. You can actually increase the power of your energetic intentions, increase the power of your prayer, increase the power of your manifesting by getting other people to set the same intention with you. And it's got to be something, you know, in my opinion, where it would be done with someone who's trusted, someone who's loved, somebody who truly has your best intentions in mind. And as well as, in my opinion and from my experience, it's often a nice thing if it's reciprocal, meaning if you're able to help a friend and they're able to help you, then everybody kind of walks away with this feel-good feeling, because it is something that requires a bit of dedication and time to do it. You know, you've got to really sit down and actually think about it and manifest it and set the intention or journal it, however it is that works best for somebody alone, but it's got to be something that's really actually actively done. So
yeah. Well, it's super cool. And there are a lot of anecdotal stories out there of the science behind it. Right?
For sure.
I mean, like, when I think my first exposure to it was a book that a friend of mine gave me, which is by Lynn McTaggart as well, The Intention Experiment. We talked about it earlier in the show. And The Power of Eight. And then The Field is another one of her books. But she's a fascinating woman. Fascinating woman. Yeah. And also the editor of What the Doctors Don't Tell You. But I remember the story in The Power of Intention that like blew my mind. And I don't think that most people really understand how powerful their mind is to persevere and to accomplish things that they never thought possible.
Right.
You know,
right.
Case in point, the Buffalo Bills. No, I'm joking, but but not really. You know, it's the power of the team coming together and believing and persevering that they can be champions.
Sure.
But there's one story in the book, the Intention Experiment. I don't know if you remember it, where basically a Buddhist monk goes up into the Himalaya mountains with all these scientists that are monitoring his body temperature and all this stuff. And they keep putting cold blankets on him. And it's sub-zero, okay? And the blankets, the water in them, he steams them up and they basically like evaporate all the water from them. And they keep doing it. And his body temperature, he survives it. And his body temperature, in fact, he rose it to a point where, he was very safe. And I'm not telling the story very well, but the point is, the power of the mind is incredible.
Oh, it's huge. So let me give you my own little real world example. You know, we live in southern Arizona, and although we live up in the mountains, we still do get that Arizona sunshine, and it can get quite hot even when the temperature itself isn't that high. The UV index of the sun can be pretty intense. So much to my children's chagrin, I love walking them to and from school despite whatever the weather is. And so I'll go and pick them up and around like, 3 in the afternoon when it's 98 degrees out, and they're like, oh, why would you do this to us, you know? Uh-huh. And so one of the last walks we took before the weather turned, I told them, I was like, well, just, all you guys are doing is focusing on how hot you are. Instead of focusing on how hot you are, focus on how good the sun feels. Focus on accepting it rather than resisting it, because this is your reality and you're in it and you can't do anything to change it. And just, set your intention to allow the sun to heal you and energize you, like stop talking and complaining and do this instead. Mm-hmm. You know, so we all three were walking back this way, and they've learned that enough of my, you know, weird stuff sometimes, you know, works out for them to actually give it enough credibility to try it out. And it all three, you know, they noticed an immediate difference. And, you know, this is a 9 and a 10-year-old. And for them to be like, well, wait a second, hang on. Like, suddenly it feels comfortable. Like, how's that possible? What, I don't understand, you know, and like yeah, all these questions. And I'm like, exactly. You know, you're resisting the reality. Set the intention. You know, you're the one who's in control of how you react and how you feel and all these things. And if you change your perception, you know, the effects of it are, they're real. And that's, you know, when we talk about the science, that's what I'm always quick to point out to people, because I am by nature a skeptic. But mm-hmm. the science of it is, when you think, when you have an intention, when you practice meditation, or when you set these kind of goals and you affirm them and all these things, there are actual physical changes inside of your body, inside of your brain yeah. in particular, the areas that register pain or pleasure and discomfort, they all change. And it's very noticeable just from a black and white image, you know, the picture of one person's brain who has a practice and another person's brain who doesn't. And so it's, you know, it's not so much we create our own reality, you know, like a sci-fi movie, as much as it is that we are able to change the way that the human body, the tool that we live inside, is processing the world around us. And it makes a really big difference.
I love this. Okay, so we wanna talk about this before we have to go to break, but what's the easiest way to get started? I know you said that a small group of 8 is ideal, right? That's the first thing. And what about the actual intention setting? It's supposed to last about 10 minutes, is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's something I always tell people to start out with 5 minutes, but in my experience, 8 minutes is where you really get into a zone.
Okay.
So 10 minutes kind of allows you some, you know, time to like wander off here and there.
And they say it's helpful to listen to the same piece of music while setting intention.
Yeah,
is that true for you?
Yeah, for sure. Music actually, you know, just like we all have a song, you know, that reminds us of a particular time in our childhood or with a loved one or something like that. Mm-hmm. Music is a way to instantaneously and pretty much effortlessly open us up to our subconscious. And the subconscious is where all of the where all the manifestation and the intention setting and all that stuff is kind of stored in our brains. So by listening to music, you're able to recall the feeling that you have towards this intention, towards this completion, towards this fulfillment. It instantly triggers it. So if you listen to the same music while you're having the same feeling, the same thought, then they amplify one another.
Wow.
So I like to start out with picking a song, something. I usually choose things without words, you know, when I'm doing something like this, something that will just trigger this feeling in me. And then I generally start out with one person, you know, one trusted friend, a good friend, or, you know, my mom or somebody like that. You know, it just depends kind of on the nature of the thing.
And, right.
From there, once I really clarify what it is that I want to see changed or what my end goal is, then I'll start adding other people. So, and you can really see that there is a big change once you start adding in other people, but you do have to be careful about it. And you've got to choose the right people because, you know, as much as some people care about you, they don't always align similarly with your goals.
Right.
And so once you have a very clearly defined objective, then start kind of feeling out for other people and particular people you may want to turn around and help as well.
Wow. Yeah, you don't want to bring somebody in that's going to kill your vibe. But
no, you don't. And actually, you know, it can be a negative. It can deflect from the power of everything too.
Yeah.
So I am very careful about who I add in. And then just simply the way I kind of have to do everything in life, I schedule it, you know, and I let the friends know that or the family know that who's in it, you know, here every Tuesday, you know, at 7:45, can you just, you know, sit down for 10 minutes and think about this thing, you know,
and
everyone just sets a reminder on their phone.
I love it. And it can be virtual, and plan to set the attention at the same time each week and decide to commit for 12 weeks is what I'm reading. But here's something really cool. And then we got to go to break. I would love for you to do like a just a maybe a 30-second chant to send us into the new year with love and peace and good intentions. But I want to read this real quick. It says, if you took a picture of the sun every day, always at the same hour and from the same location, you will see a figure eight. How cool is that, right? All right.
Yeah.
So you got a chant for us today in your pocket you're going to pull out?
Oh, I've always got one.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. Om Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Shri Bhagavati Sarvamita Shri Bhagavate Namaha Om Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Shri Bhagavati Sarvamita Shri Bhagavate Namaha.
I love it.
That's a simple one to open us up to the infinite.
I love it. Come on, universe, bring it on. The power, harnessing the power of eight. Autumn Connolly, thank you so much. Namaste, sister. We'll talk to you soon. And
okay,
everyone,
bye-bye.
Stay. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Everyone, we've got a great show continuing on here. Mary Holland is next. We're going to be talking about the COVID vaccine. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it.
Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby.
All right, stop, collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. Extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Dance,
crush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly,
when I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bullseye, the kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Oh my gosh, we're continuing on with a little Vanilla Ice.
Oh, this is Queen.
Oh, that's Queen.
I did Vanilla Ice first, and then this is
this is Queen
and
version.
David Bowie.
Oh,
yes.
Oh wow, I love that. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, that's the one he tried. Vanilla Ice tried to say he didn't copy Queen because he had an extra da da in his, but he lost that lawsuit.
Oh my gosh! And I heard we were, you know, on the text chain. I guess Donald Trump had Vanilla Ice at his New Year's Eve party.
I guess, I don't know. I didn't see that, but.
Anyway,
sure.
Well, yeah, there you go. Okay, well, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette Wood Jr., and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Mary Holland with us. You're in for a treat. If you've never heard her before, Mary Holland serves as general counsel and vice chair on the board at Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctorate degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and Mary is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Her website, or their website, is childrenshealthdefense.org. That's childrenshealthdefense.org. Always a pleasure. Mary Holland, how are you doing today?
Bernadette, great to be on with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Always great to have you on the show. Our topic today is, of course, the COVID vaccine, continuing on, trying to educate America about this topic. Okay, so the COVID vaccine is being administered around the world with an ingredient that causes life-threatening reactions. Can you tell us about polyethylene glycol, or PEG, that's what it's called, the acronym, and why it may be so dangerous for some people?
Sure. So people talk about it as PEG, and PEG is a sort of a type of like a plasticizer, and it's used in over 1,000 drugs. It's used in some food products. And as it turns out, about over 70% of people already have anti-PEG antibodies in their body because they've been exposed to it and they're sensitized to it. But 8% of people, approximately 8, and there's very robust science on this, Bernadette, 8% of people have extreme sensitivity to PEG. And if they come in contact with PEG, if they're injected with PEG, their body will go into an immune storm, and they will have anaphylaxis. They will not be able to breathe. And if they don't get a shot of epinephrine, they will die. So the two COVID vaccines that are available in the United States right now, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, both contain PEG. They both use what they call a lipid nanoparticle envelope, sort of like this PEG envelope, to put over the messenger RNA, which is the sort of the information that's going to teach your cells how to produce these antibodies to the COVID virus. That's the idea. But these envelopes in both of these vaccines contain PEG. And we, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., our chair, and Children's Health Defense, Lynn Redwood, our president, alerted Moderna and the Food and Drug Administration many, many months ago to this clear danger. And in fact, Bernadette, one of the things that's so amazing about this is in their financial prospectus, Moderna flags the issue of PEG, and there may be some problems, and that may, in fact, affect their bottom line. But when we wrote to Moderna and to the FDA to say, you've got to pre-screen people, you've got to know if people have an allergy to PEG before you inject them with these vaccines, they just passed the buck. And FDA said, oh, contact Moderna, and Moderna said, oh, we have it under control. Mm-hmm. And then in the immediate rollout of the Pfizer vaccine in the United Kingdom, two people went into anaphylactic shock immediately.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And they had to get epinephrine. And since the rollout of the vaccine around the world, there have been other people who have gone into anaphylactic shock. So what they're saying is now these vaccines have to be administered in a hospital setting so that these people who would otherwise die from getting the vaccine because of this allergic response will actually have epinephrine on hand and they'll be able to get it. And also, one of the other modifications they've put in place since the initial rollout is that people who have a history of allergies, whether it's to a bee sting or to a food, to shellfish or something like that, they want to monitor those people for half an hour after they get the vaccine rather than the 15 minutes that they would otherwise do. But the real issue here, Bernadette, is they knew this was going to be a problem. And they've elected not to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And they've elected not to screen people in advance and not to warn people, really, that they should be very careful if they have an allergy. The worst part is most people have no idea if they have an allergy to PEG, polyethylene glycol. Some people do, and so Reuters has written about this. This is now a mainstream topic of discussion. But it's very troubling that industry and the regulators absolutely had foreknowledge, and we wrote to them months before the release and said, this is going to be a problem, and they did nothing, and essentially they're still doing nothing, Bernadette.
Wow. That's not shocking to me, and it's really unfortunate for a lot of reasons. So let me ask you this. Do you know approximately how many people have had reactions to the vaccine?
Well, the PEG issue is anaphylactic shock, and I've read at least six serious accounts from different countries of people going into anaphylactic shock. But in addition to that, we know from the rollout so far and from the clinical trials, we know that people have developed transverse myelitis, people have developed multiple sclerosis, people have developed anaphylactic shock, all kinds of mild symptoms like headache, chills, fever, discomfort. And since the rollout, there have been deaths that have been reported within hours of the vaccination, particularly in elderly people. So one in Israel, another one, I believe, in Sweden, not clearly from the vaccine. They're being investigated. But, you know, for sure, there are serious adverse effects from these vaccines so far.
Absolutely. I know people personally that have developed multiple sclerosis after having particular vaccines. I'm trying to think of which one it was. I don't want to say it without knowing. But, I mean, this is very important stuff that we're discussing. This is the effects that it has ultimately on our immune system. We are the most over-vaccinated country in the world here in America, and not coincidentally, one of the sickest nations in the world. And I don't understand why more people are not concerned or looking more at the hard science and all the facts.
Bernadette, I think you have to recognize that propaganda works. And basically, the whole world has been subjected to a propaganda campaign since January of last year, almost a full year of almost 24/7. You should be in a state of panic because COVID might kill you.
Yeah, I have a sense like that.
It works. I do too. And propaganda works and fear works. When you put people in a state of constant fear, it wears them down and they don't think rationally. And so most people in a state of fear don't go read the hard science and go, I wonder if they're telling you the truth or not. They say, oh my God, get me the vaccine. I don't want to die from COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And then, so I was in, I was in Sprouts the other day and I saw a Psychology Today, and on the cover, it says conspiracy theories, why smart people fall for bizarre ideas. I was so angry when I read it, and I hate it that people think because you question vaccines, which by the way, I have for 24 years since I got pregnant with my first child, I started examining the science behind them because of Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, who has passed away, and authors and brilliant minds like you that wrote the HPV vaccine on trial. You know, there's a reason that you wrote that book, the same reason that Robert Mendelsohn did. And I just hate that people, when they broad brush. And so when they hear that, oh, wow, you're questioning vaccines, oh, you must be a conspiracy theorist too.
Well, that's part of the propaganda. That's a way to marginalize people like you and me. She's a kook. She questions the science. And it's like, it's so ironic because, in fact, if you read the science, you will come to the conclusion that we don't know about vaccines a lot more than we know, and that they inevitably can cause danger, and you won't necessarily know in advance if you're the person who's going to be affected. Mm-hmm. And I do get, Bernadette, that people are scared of COVID. COVID is serious. What is being called COVID is serious. And it's very unfortunate that, in my best judgment, a lot of really promising therapeutics have been suppressed and people aren't learning about them. But I understand why people are scared, but that doesn't mean that these vaccines that are available today are the solution.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I could say a lot more, but we're going to go to break real quick. I've got more questions for you. We're listening. If you're listening to Mary Holland, everyone, she serves as general counsel and vice chair on the board at Children's Health Defense. Stay tuned. More coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Whispering the words melt everyone, but you still
us on social media at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. We are here live in Dallas, Texas, speaking with Mary Holland. She serves as general counsel and vice chair on the board at Children's Health Defense. She led the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctorate degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and Mary is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic, as well as the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can find her at childrenshealthdefense.org. We're continuing talking about the COVID vaccine. Okay, so Mary, you know, the Children's Health Defense published an article calling out the pandemic beneficiaries, if you will. Who are they?
So even though 50 million people have lost their jobs, and the middle class and the working class and even people arguably in the upper class are feeling very anxious about the future, big tech, big pharma, big finance, and military intelligence complex have all increased their value and increased their control. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what's called FANG, Facebook, Apple, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, those companies, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, they have increased their market capitalization by over 60% in this pandemic.
Wow.
So, you know, it has not been a loss for everybody. In fact, sort of this very significant group of mega global corporations have, you know, really benefited from the pandemic significantly.
Well, and I read that it's that the site of COVID-19 outbreak and home to more than 30 new three-comma club members, which is basically trillionaires, that there was over 30 new billionaires, and the majority of them are from China. I mean, it's mind-boggling what has happened in the last year. It really is.
It is.
You know, in the article, it talks about centralized technocratic control. What is that, and how can we, or what can we do to prevent it from happening?
So this article and the other ones that we've discussed are on the website, Children's Health Defense /Defender. And this is a very deep dive into sort of the bigger picture. So you and I focus a lot on vaccines, but sort of behind the COVID pandemic, a lot more is taking place. And what this article really goes into are what some of those other things are. And there's a big push by this technocratic elite, meaning people who specialize in big tech. They believe that power should be in the hands of people who control technology. And they believe that technology and algorithms and artificial intelligence and machine learning, they have the expertise that should have all the authority. You know, it should be sort of science, right? Mm-hmm. Science should run the world. And those people, you know, whether it's in pharma or big tech or finance, they basically are working together, and they want us all to move to a cashless society. They want everything online, so everything is transparent. But what that really means is you can be controlled through your central bank account. So if you do things that the government, whatever it is, doesn't like, well, your credit can just be zapped instantaneously. Mm-hmm. You don't have cash that you can hide under your mattress.
It scares me. It scares me so bad, you know, and I mean, I can't even imagine when I tell people, yeah, we're going towards a cashless society. They're like, oh, no, that'll never happen.
I know.
It's
They are. And, you know, it's again, people like us, Bernadette, will be called conspiracy theorists. This article on the website, which was just published in a peer reviewed journal, by the way, is so well written. It is so meticulous in its citations to, you know, really authoritative articles. I highly commend it to people. It really gives you the bigger picture. It's called, you know, a big picture look at current pandemic beneficiaries. So that's what's happening in the area of finance and technology. Of course, at the same time, we've got this pandemic, these 5G installations, both in terms of small cells for internet, you know, transfer of information, but also satellites. That has been going on at a very rapid speed. speed to create these kind of smart cities. And this is what people talk about as like the final mile of having these wearable technologies, this internet of things, so that there's data that is streaming out of people's daily lives incessantly. And this will, in fact, permit a kind of individualized control over people that has been unimaginable in history, right? Unimaginable. So, you know, you're going to wear a Fitbit, you're going to wear a brain band, and literally that data, if you submit to this, is going to go to the cloud, and then these sort of algorithms, literally algorithms, are going to decide, well, what's your social credit score today? Or can you leave your geofencing zone because you've increased your social credit score?
Well, that's what they're doing in China. They're doing that in China right now.
So this is what's already being done in China, and it's absolutely that's prototyping. And these technological elites work hand in glove with the technological elites in China, and these are not people who really have a real national sort of affiliation or identity. These people absolutely have a transnational vision. And one of the other really important things of this vision, Bernadette, is the World Economic Forum has very close ties with the United Nations and, you know, is to the World Health Organization, has been very central in the whole pandemic planning, its response. And this is their vision is one world government. Their vision is to get us out of these nation states into bigger strategic alliances. And their vision is essentially that corporations will take over the function of government because governments are just too inept. And so this is really kind of it's called the Great Reset, which I consider to be a great rebranding of fascism, which means a corporate government, you know, melding, a corporate government phalanx that together runs the world. And, and so that's really what this is. And this pandemic has created the opportunity to accelerate that process. And this process didn't start, you know, last January. This started decades ago.
And, and I have to cut you off because I hear the music. And I just have to thank you so much for jumping on the show today. And, I you know, our liberty and our freedom will be gone if we don't stop this. And that's a fact. I'm not even sure if we can stop it now.
We're
going to try. Mary, thank you so much. Gosh, there's so many things I want to say. But I'm going to end the show on a high note. Everyone, have a wonderful day. Start this new year off right. Open your mind. Open your hearts. And remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.